Welcome to the Banking with Life podcast. This is our Q&A series where I answer your questions regarding the infinite banking concept, becoming your own banker. Let's get started.
In this question, I was curious if the infinite banking concept can be used with a 503C designation for church businesses, for church businesses, offerings, and things of that nature. My thoughts are regarding the potential taxation of churches by the IRS being enforced in their future. You know, it seems like over the last several months, I've gotten an awful lot of questions and engagement with clients and new clients and older clients, prospective clients, about church organizations or nonprofit, you know, entities. And so here's a couple of things. Number one, where you allude to, and I think rightly so, the potential of the IRS taxing churches in the future. Well, you know, I would almost just set my watch by it's just a matter of time, in my opinion, before they come around and tax the churches. They want to tax everything else anyway. I have a very strong opinion on taxation, okay? And I think give them time, they're going to tax everything that they possibly can. And I hope that's in a very long time and we don't have to experience that in our lifetime. So let me say that even when it comes to a modified endowment contract changes the taxation of a life insurance policy. So, you know, many of you know, probably most of you know, that the IRS looked at life insurance in the 80s and said, oh, this is too good to be true. You know, this is a tax loophole for the rich, you know, and they colluded with the term promoters and Wall Street, none of which could compete with dividend paying whole life insurance. And then all the senators, you know, I'm sure there's a bunch of money swapping hands underneath the table behind the scenes. I don't know. And then there was such a weak argument or defense from the life insurance industry, right? When they're being castigated by the Senate. All of these hearings are available on C-SPAN if you care to go and look. But then I also want to point out, you know, right after that happened, then the qualified plans came out, right? The Keel plan, right? The IRA, the Keel plan, and 401k, really the 401k. And then where does most of the money that goes into 401ks wind up? Wall Street. Oh, okay. And then shortly after that, all of the not all of them, but a lot of large, well-known, old, stable mutual life insurance companies started demutualizing. So, and from my experience and my perspective, if you back up and look at all of these things happening in a short time period, you know, a lot of them are potentially connected. Okay. I want to answer your question. So, even if I have a policy that has become a modified endowment contract, which means that anything withdrawn above the basis, my premium, if I borrow above my basis or I withdraw above my basis, then every future withdrawal is taxable. All right. Now, the death benefit is still tax-free typically. However, the church as a 503C entity, whatever those tax exempt entities are, whether it's a foundation, a church, they're tax exempt. So even a modified endowment contract, if they owned it, it's still a modified endowment contract, but the entity is tax exempt. Okay. And I think that, like, you and me at the you and me level, at the business level, the you in business, I don't care what type of business. If we understand what the infinite banking concept can do for us, controlling the banking function, build capital safely, securely, and tax-free, even if you're not a tax-exempt entity, you can enjoy the preferential tax treatment of life insurance. I say that because it's commonly said, but I really don't even believe it's taxed in a preferential way, life insurance. Life insurance is taxed appropriately. I'm paying premium with after-tax dollars unless there's some kind of a benefit plan with employees and businesses. As an individual, I'm buying life insurance with after-tax dollars. I'm buying a death benefit, right? That death benefit is tax-free because it's a replacement of a loss. It is not an investment return to me or my beneficiaries. So it shouldn't be taxed. It's a replacement of a loss. You wreck your automobile. You get a settlement from the insurance company. They don't send you a 1099. Why? Because it's not an investment. You didn't crash your car to get an investment. Maybe some people do have done that. I don't know. But it is that claim is a replacement of a loss. Same thing as a death benefit. It is a replacement of a loss. Why? I die. My future income is disrupted, right? So that death benefit replaces all that future income that I wasn't here to create for the benefit of my family. I know it's a pretty relatively short question, and that was kind of a long answer, but let me recap. I think that if entities like churches would understand the infinite banking concept, they could change the world, right? I mean, they could literally change the world, and they could ensure financially the longevity of a community, of a church, of the organization, right? Of the church. I mean, think about that. I don't know if that is a big deal in the church world where the congregations are left hanging here. That I've heard lots of churches roll up and die for many different reasons, right? And sometimes it's a lack of capital. Right? You don't have enough money to pay the pastor. You don't have enough money to pay the preacher. You don't have enough money to pay the alderman or whomever, whatever the structure is, to move five states away. The little church just doesn't have enough money to pay for it. That's just one example. If I, right, we're on a board of a church, and I'm not, and I've been on boards of nonprofit organizations and currently on some boards, I think the smartest thing a trustee, an elder, you know, who the leadership in the church, the board members, and every tax exempt entity, I think there is an insurable interest, right? If the tax exempt entity and the church, they have an insurable interest into the board members. So the church could own policies on the board members. All right. The church owns them. The premium is being paid through the contributions. Once you give money to the church and after their expenses are paid, they've got to put the money somewhere. They put it in the local bank and it earns zero or next to no interest, right? The banking concept absolutely applies to churches. And I think the church should take advantage of the insurable interest that they have, even in their donors. Okay. And I know you didn't ask this question. All right. I'm just expanding and giving more context and background. Let's say that I donated $25,000 a year to the church, and I have a demonstrable history of that. Okay? For the last 10 years, I've donated $25,000 to the church or any tax-exempt entity. That entity has a $25,000 at least insurable interest in me. Because if I die, my donations are going to die with me, typically, right? At least 25. Okay, well, if I've been doing it for the last 25 years and going to buy a $25,000 life insurance policy on me and I die, they get 1 year of contributions. No, companies will go out 10, 12, 8, 9, 10, 15 years. So if I've been given $25,000 a year and I've demonstrated that over the last 3 years, you mean that life or the entity has a $250,000 insurable interest in me? And I'm saying yes, potentially. And you should know. You should find that out. Right? So I think that every church, every tax exempt organization should discover the infinite banking concept. Okay. All right. And now he continues. Sure. Do you have any material that I could provide my church trustees? Yes, I do. And it's called Becoming Your Own Banker from R. Nelson Nash. If they understand the concept, they will likely consider implementing it however they can. But now, too, let me say that, you know, the church is full of people. You know, the looking, you know, for me, if I were looking for a perfect church, the imperfection ceased right when I walked through the door. Right. So I have found many times, not always, but many times, some of the trustees, some of the elders, some of the board members, maybe in the financial services industry. Oh, then it gets back to that polarization. They hate life insurance. The infinite banking concept is a gimmick. Your money should be in the stock market or high, you know, rate CDs or whatever. So the human element exists in the church as well. All right. That's a great question. You know, in my upcoming book that I'm going to write someday, I'm going to dive deep in that question as far as churches, because I have a, you know, we have a lot of, like I said, maybe earlier preachers, pastors, evangelists, priests, as clients. So thanks for letting me take you through all that. Okay. Okay, and this question, I love these questions. And I do. I really do. I love them. And then they're numbered, right? So in these questions, right? Okay, I'm looking to take out a policy loan from the life insurance company who I have a policy with. And I just had a few questions. It says on the client access that loans will incur interest. I was under the impression that these loans are from myself. Do I decide the interest rate, or is there a standard interest rate that they have or use? So first question, all right. You know, are not borrowing from yourself. If you have a cash value in a life insurance policy, there is a contractual loan provision within that policy, and a life insurance policy is a contract. One of the provisions is that you have the right to request a loan from the life insurance company. The life insurance company is whose money you are borrowing, right? And your policy cash values are not even the cash values, more completely, your whole policy, not just the cash value, your whole policy and every contractual right that you have within that contract is collateralizing that loan. Okay. Yes, they have an interest rate. Every life insurance company charges a loan interest rate. And in that loan provision of your policy, it'll explain your loan interest rate. Right. So there is a rate. And then it, you know, when you understand the infinite banking concept in Nelson's work, page 58 and Becoming Your Own Banker, additional interest. What is this? We're calling additional interest. What can I do? Yes, you can decide the interest rate. If the loan interest charge to me is 5%, I can repay it at 10. All I'm going to do is pay down that loan amortization table sooner, which means I will therefore pay less interest to the life insurance company. If I have a flexible paid up additions rider, I can borrow the life insurance company's money at 5, go do whatever I'm going to do, and I can repay at 5 and no big deal. But I could, if I have that additional room in the PUA, I can pay back 10, 15, 20. I can do whatever I want. What I'm calling interest in that example is not interest. I'm determining that. I'm saying I'm going to repay 10% in interest. That additional amount above the loan interest rate from the life insurance company is not interest in anything other than your deal, right? You determine you're going to pay additional quote unquote interest on this particular deal, the car purchase, the real estate, whatever. When you send that money to the life insurance company, you are going, if you have, remember the additional PUA, that is premium to the life insurance company. So it's interest in the deal that we're calling the deal, premium to the life insurance company, and it's more basis in your policy and more capital to your system. Number two, how soon would the money be available generally? I think I've answered this question two or three times in this series of questions. Generally, 30 days after the life insurance company has received the funds and they've been verified, right? If they receive them in their bean counters, right? If they received a check or, a bank wire transfer, it's a little bit different on a bank wire transfer. If I mail them a check and they receive it today, they're going to give me, they're going to require 30 calendar days or 20 business days. And all they're doing is they're making sure those funds actually leave my institution and wind up in their institution. Now, if I did a bank wire transfer, like if I wire transferred money, and generally can take 2 to 3 business days. If I go to my bank, if I execute a wire before 12 o'clock, on one day, the wire will go out the next day. The life insurance company will receive it that second day, and it could be available the third day, right? Just the actual funds from my institution to theirs. All right. But within my example of they still have this time period of 30 days or 20 days or 45 or whatever it is, they are still going to require me to prove from my bank or my institution that the funds actually sent. Here's a wire number, here's a transaction number and all of that. Generally 30 days, simply to answer your question. Okay. Number three, just wanted to confirm that taking out a loan at this point wouldn't affect the way the policy operates going forward, especially the ceiling of how much it could accrue in dividends. How would it go? Okay. I think what you're asking, how does it affect the policy, especially the ceiling for how much it could accrue in dividends? Okay. So that really gets down to a company is either a direct recognition company or a non-direct recognition company. A direct recognition company, when you collateralize your policy and borrow money from the life insurance company, they adjust the dividend for the amount outstanding in a loan. They reduce the dividend. And I know all across YouTube, all of these people who love, direct recognition companies, they put up beautiful presentations and say, oh, it doesn't matter, almost making you believe that you'll earn a higher dividend on that outstanding loan. And I'm just telling you, think that through. If I have a $100,000 loan value and I borrow $100,000 from the life insurance company, collateralizing that $100,000 in cash value, are you mean to tell me that the life insurance company is going to increase my dividend because I have an outstanding loan? Logically, if you think that through, that's the conclusion that you get to. It's not true. If you have a direct recognition company, they directly recognize that there is an outstanding loan and they adjust the dividend accordingly, right? And there's lots of mathematics and calculation between there. Maybe you're making monthly loan repayments. Maybe you're not. All of that affects their dividend adjustment. Now, direct recognition versus non-direct recognition. If I own a non-direct recognition company and I borrow money from them, collateralizing my cash value, the dividend is not affected. There is no adjustment in dividends, right? And that really, I think, is the essence of your question. Okay. So it depends on whether you have a direct recognition company or a non-direct recognition company. And I have my preferences. God bless all the mutual life insurance companies. We prefer non-direct recognition companies. If I'm going to practice the infinite banking concept, that implies that there's going to be some outstanding loans from time to time. I want a full dividend. Don't adjust the dividend because of an outstanding loan. And you all know I could say more on that, but I'm restraining myself because I'm practicing grace, okay? Thank you for the question. In this question, any special opinion on he names two life insurance companies by name. So he says, he asks, any special opinion on these two life insurance companies by name and their products for use in the infinite banking concept? And just let me say this. I prefer not to mention life insurance companies' names on this podcast. If you're listening, look, if you want a direct question about your particular circumstances or a particular life insurance company, I would invite you to call my office, right? The numbers in here, or email me, James at Banking with Life, something privately. I'm not promoting these life insurance companies, and I don't wish to mention their names, right? Because if I mention a life insurance, yeah, this company's good, that company's not good. That's my understanding and my experience, and there's a reason that I have opinions and preferences, just like you. And so if I said this company is good, I don't want people to think that that's the only company to work with, or the only company they should work with, or that company is good too, or that company's not good. I will address very specific questions with my clients and then personally, not publicly. But thank you for the question.
Thank you for listening. If you have a question that you would like answered, email me at james@bankingwithlife.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.